Welcome back, my friends. Glad you are here. We're crossing officially the threshold of the program, now into the latter half of the show. It's still Friday morning, February 9th, 2007, about a minute past 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, and our guest has agreed to stay on a little bit longer, and I certainly appreciate that. Weigh in with your thoughts. Ask your questions, folks, from a privacy expert and consultant. This is a great opportunity for you. And, of course, if you're maybe one of those paranoid-type folks, as I would be called on occasion, you can ask general questions or say, hey, I got this friend who has the same name I do and happens to live in the same house I do, and here's his situation. I'm joking. PrivacyCrisis.com is the website, the book, Privacy Crisis, the author, Grant Hall. Welcome back, sir.
Yes. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Regarding the zip codes that a lot of times the retailers will ask you for, they're just doing a sales tracking procedure there, and it's in their best interest to be able to track sales per region, and that's the purpose of that. I wouldn't have my name in their database, and I wouldn't have my name associated with any of the various grocery store cards and other kinds of cards that you swipe through either, because that, in my opinion, is pretty dangerous stuff to have out there. In terms of the delivery, the pizza delivery, we kind of covered that. The cab drivers, my practice when I get a cab, when I'm traveling, is to have them pick me up a little ways away from where I actually am staying and also deliver me a little ways away from the hotel. And that's the way I preserve my anonymity.
That's excellent. Now, as far as Brenda's question about being told that this information is required, you know, zip codes and things like that. I mean, that's just an outright lie, is it not?
That's just, Brenda, you know, I would encourage you to be assertive and to, first of all, prioritize and make certain that you have your priorities in line in terms of what you really want. And I think you owe it to yourself to realize that clerks, you're their customer. In the old days, you told them what you needed.
There you go.
They didn't tell you what they had to have, and I think that's occurs more and more today. And you don't have to give anybody anything of that nature.
Okay. Well, actually, during the break, I thought of a much more important question. I happen to live in a rent-controlled property, and my landlord told me today that they're trying to do a survey of utilities to make sure that the allowances for utilities is accurate for all the people living here. However, I have to hand them over to a government agency my utility account numbers.
Ooh.
And supposedly for this to happen, every person on the property has to do it. And I got the feeling that I was being pressured. Now, when we first moved in, I got the information in the mail, and I just promptly ignored it because I thought, well, this is an invasion of my privacy, and is this what they're really going to use it for? But I got the feeling that I was being pressured today.
That is an excellent question.
And, I mean, you never know. The government says one thing, and then they turn around and do something else. And, I mean, I was thinking that, you know, something just didn't seem right about this. And what they may be saying is just perfectly accurate, or it just might be what they choose to tell us and then, you know, use it for that and a whole bunch more.
Oh, wow. Well, that is an astoundingly important question, and we're up to another break. So if you guys can both stay on, we can address this as soon as we come back. Folks, our phone number, if you have questions about your situation, how to improve your privacy, or maybe something specific like Brenda has just brought forth, now is the time. 800-313-9443. Stay with us. We're back with our good friend Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. Check out the website, privacycrisis.com. Stay with us. Back.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights, featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Welcome back. We're in hour number three already, folks. Very excited that you're still with us. Frankly Speaking Radio, of course, our special guest this evening is Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. Grant, welcome back, and please, by all means, I think that what we've got here with Brenda's comment is also a very, very common thing. We're told quite often that these are situations where, oh, your compliance is required or your compliance is necessary, and don't screw it up for everybody else, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. The last thing you want to do is have your home address be an open book to people that you don't really want to invite into your house. So it's my opinion that you should not have just anybody know where you live. You may need to study this and make a decision based on what options, and there are a lot of options open for making your home life private. But you may need some foundation work to just discover what your options really are and what you can do to not have somebody require that you give them your utility bill and make that their business when it in fact is not their business, because that gives them basically your home address and an open book to being accessible to you. The rent control might be that might be a regulation that they've put into some contract. I do not know. In terms of the utilities themselves, I would not have those in my name to begin with. That is my opinion. I would use a nominee for that purpose. and that nominee would not reveal anything personally about me. He or she would be under contract to keep that private.
And it seems to me, honestly, and we'll let Brenda comment here, but it seems to me, honestly, that this is just a ruse. I mean, if people thought that they weren't getting a fair shake with their utilities, then they should be addressing that themselves. They shouldn't need to run to the Fed and say, hey, they're charging me too much for water. It seems to me that just simply the threat of you know, a lawsuit perhaps should rectify that pretty quickly. So this idea of a collective examination for your own good, that just rings of deception in my ears. But Brenda, your thoughts?
Well, keep in mind that this is government housing, number one. Number two, there is a utility allowance that they, when they figure out how much rent you're going to pay, they give you a certain amount of utility allowance. And they are saying that to know that if they're giving the right amount of utility allowance for all the people, that they want all the information on all the people. But with all the government agencies losing all these computers with all this information in it, and they can't seem to keep their little hands on a laptop that should be in their hands and not left someplace, I really don't want to give information. I mean, we've not even been in this address a year. We're up for recertification. And it's almost as if, like, there's this underlying tone that, well, if you don't give it to us, we can always say no on your recertification.
That's
got multiple disabilities. And there's always this undertone of, well, do it our way, or it's a highway. And it's not just this particular situation I've run into. I mean, you were talking about your computer being hacked into. For like the ebook, I know my computer is messed up. I've seen in my cookie section there was one called Skynet. I deleted it and my computer went haywire. And just recently, 20 minutes or so after I turned off my computer, it turned itself back on.
Wow.
So I know my life is being watched, tracked, etc. I know my phone is illegally tapped because I've set them up. I can't say how, so they don't know what I did. But see, the whole point is I'm also went to just giving somebody a ride to be neighborly to an agency for them to get help. We're talking a local small potatoes agency, not state, not federal, anything, nothing big. And they had a little sign up there, everybody must give their name. Well, I'm not there for help. I'm there for a ride. And I simply was inside to attempt to stay warm. Mm. But, I had to give my name. I said, well, show me the law. And then they got really nasty with me. So I had to leave. And they ended up giving the other person a way to get home.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'm running into a lot of this around here all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. We'll let Grant comment, but you being in government-owned housing, is it a situation then where the actual utilities are in their name?
In my name, and any deposits required are done by me. This is, you know, it just, the whole deal is it's like more and more and more. Every time we turn around, another thing is added, and it's just like, well, if you don't jump when we snap our fingers, you won't have a place to live. And it's always this underlying threat.
That's true.
And this is not the first time I've been in some form of housing authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't know how much they've added since the last time I was in some form of a housing authority, but it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But I don't know. I mean, you may not have a whole lot of options in your situation. It just seems to me that if you're agreeing to live under their rules, then, you know, you kind of have to, I guess. I don't know. But I would say this, you know, just say, is it required that I present you this information? And if they say yes, just say, show me in my contractual obligation where, and I'll happily provide you with that. And usually that'll sort out the situation pretty quick, because either A, they won't, or B, they will. And either way, you'll have your own response ready to go. I had a situation come up where I had a package delivered to my house. It wasn't one I had solicited. And anyway, I got a bill from the company. Apparently they said, well, whoever sent it to you sent it as a cash on delivery sort of thing. Well, you know, I didn't ask for it. I wasn't home when it was dropped off. And I told them, I said, well, if it was cash on delivery, why'd you just leave it there? That's your fault. I said, show me where I signed to agree to pay it. and I'll happily do so. And they couldn't produce it, and that was the end of that. So anyway, well, Brenda, I appreciate it. And Grant, your thoughts then in closing?
Well, she may be under a contract and not even know it. And any time that you're, if there's a subsidy involved, then they may have the right to your information. I don't know. There's been people that really became serious about privacy, and they just, you know, started anew with a new residence or whatever so that they could be fully under control.
Yeah, well, certainly something to explore.
But that Brent would also be in the lease then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. I mean, you'd have to look it over. And again, you got to be real careful about those things, those contractual documents.
It's not the landlord that would be having the information. If it was a local landlord, I wouldn't really mind. But we are talking about a federal government agency that's going to have their hands on that information.
Yeah, but isn't that your landlord, the federal government?
No.
No.
It is a local government housing authority that has it. The housing authorities are usually local within a certain range, city or county or state or something like that. It is not necessarily federal, but when they're under federal rules, mm-hmm. then things that happen kind of get a little bit mangled.
Ah, I see. Wow.
It's not just a private landlord, but at the same time, it's kind of a tangled up twist, like, well, you rent from this person, but this person can control, mm-hmm. or this agency can control what you can do.
Yeah, it's.
And I don't like it at all.
Well, I would urge you to look for a new place to live. I mean, I obviously, when you're looking at that sort of thing, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes a lack of options. But you'd be surprised at what you can do, even on limited budget or limited options. So. I don't know. For me, it's a rough situation. I wouldn't want to be in it. And I would urge you to ask them, A, is it required? And B, if it is, show me where. And, you know, go from there, perhaps. Just a thought.
Okay.
I appreciate the call. And keep us in the loop if you need to clue us into maybe some new things coming down the line. We'd love to hear about it. That's for
sure.
Thank you, Brenda.
You're quite welcome.
All right. Good luck.
Right.
Let's go to Kurt in Arizona. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hi.
Let me explain just a little bit here, not more than enough. I've been getting by with an international driver's license, which is accepted as picture ID for plane traveling, et cetera, so forth and so on. The thing's going to expire here in a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, as of lately, I've been stopped because of a expired tags on the vehicle I was operating, and I don't have a state of Arizona privilege permit because I don't consider it a privilege. I consider it part of my constitutional rights to travel. In other words, if you're driving, the legal definition of that is getting compensated. The same thing applies to operating a motor vehicle, the phrase. I wasn't operating a motor vehicle or driving in the legal sense of being compensated. I was simply traveling to get dog food, which was on sale. At any rate, a built-in computer in the local cop shop vehicle noticed that the plate was expired and came and wrote me an armful of tickets. As I backed the vehicle into its parking spot on private property.
Whoa.
And now I'm looking at a lot of large fines and things like that. What avenues are there open for me to, number one, register the vehicle again, and number two, have a legally accepted ticket to drive without having to give up my constitutional God-given, guaranteed.
Hold on a second, Kurt.
I'll wait.
Okay. Folks, we're going to be back in 3 minutes. Please stay with us.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Good morning. Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. And I think we've convinced our guest to maybe stay out. Maybe we'll get him to finish this hour out. That'd be a lot of fun. But our guest is Grant Hall. The book is called Privacy Crisis. Folks, if you want to be a free human being, I think this is certainly the solution for you out there to make yourself as, I guess, obstructed as far as your personal information. Make it as obstructed as possible. A lot of times you can make it, I guess you could say this, you could make it to a point where you are as, you're just far enough out of reach that it's not financially worth them pursuing, you know, the seeking of you, I suppose you could say. But anyway, we have Kurt in Arizona who asked a question, our guest Grant Hall. Grant, welcome back, and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Kurt's got some interesting points. I don't know all the particulars of this, but and I don't know where their plates have expired from, or I don't know what kind of international driver's license you have, but generally speaking today, the international driver's license is
permit, actually, is what they
supposed
call it.
To be used in conjunction with a state-issued ID. In other words, when I go to Ireland to drive, I need an international driver's license, but I still retain the one if I had one here, and vice versa. Generally, that's the purpose of those. If you've been using it for as a standalone driver's license and you've gotten been able to do that, then that's I'm sort of surprised about that.
Yeah, this is listed under being under PATA, the Pan American Auto Travel Association.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. Where did you get that?
Oh, it seems like I got it about 5 or 6 years ago.
But where did you get it?
Through a relay in Hawaii.
Through a what?
A relay in Hawaii. I had to send the documentation and spend a lot of money for it and stuff like that, and I frankly can't afford to renew it and stuff like that at the moment.
Did they require that you send a state-issued driver's license with that in order to get your international driver's license?
No, but I did have to have a notarized copy of a certificate of birth.
Okay.
And,
well, more power to you then. And the
and other, you know, things like, you know, thumbprint and current picture and stuff like that.
Yeah, I see. Well, listen, I'm not in the camp that is an expert about what you're talking about, the other part of your question, that you have a right to travel. I mean, I know what the Constitution says, but I'm not, I mean, that's an academic area that I haven't bothered to get involved in because, frankly, it's just not been a big interest of mine, and I've just accepted the requirements to drive to keep myself from tying up too much
time. I understand what you're saying. The more the crux of my question was what can I do as far as ownership on the vehicle and going ahead and getting myself a state permission ticket?
Who owns the car?
A ticket to ride, drive, whatever.
Who owns the car?
Currently it's in my name.
It's in your name. And you're worried that they've stuck you with a lot of tickets or what?
Oh, they gave me a whole armful of them.
Well, you're going to have to pay them, I suppose, because I don't have any answers for you to avoid those. But I do know that for privacy purposes, you would be better served to have the car properly registered in a trust, as I describe in the book. And your name needs to be kept off of that registration,
okay,
or so that
generally
nobody can recognize you as your driver.
Give me a guesstimate on this. What type of funding am I talking about for putting it in trust?
Well, in the name of a trust, people can buy trusts sometimes at legal aid stores for very little money, and then they can have one drawn up by an attorney that costs substantially more. I don't know what they cost in Arizona necessarily, but I know that they're all prices. But the purpose is to have the car legally held by another entity beside yourself, and to have yourself the driver only and not be on the registration so that nobody can recognize your car as being yours as you're driving. That's the whole purpose of privacy as you travel.
I understand. And can you hazard even a remote guess as to what this might be out of pocket?
I'm aware that you can buy certain kinds of trusts, but I haven't used them for $50, and I'm also aware that you can have one drawn up by an attorney for $1,000. So it depends on your budget and how good they are. I don't recommend either one of them, but I do recommend that that people not have their car in their own name.
I understand. Is there any help that you can come up with on the driver's license? And as far as my budget goes...
Yeah, Arizona has the most liberal driver's license available that I know of. I think that they're good until you're 65.
Well, you've got to go in every few years and take your eye test.
No,
and driving
no,
test,
you don't. So. You really don't have to. You get them when you're 16, and you don't have to renew it until you're 65 under the current law.
Well, I always had to in years past.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the license, and then they expire as you're 65.
And they want your Social Security number. You don't want to give it to them.
Well, but yeah.
They have it anyway.
There's going to be a few agencies that are
going to
have
it. Gentlemen, I'm sorry. Let me jump in here real quick. I'm sorry. Folks, we have to take this break, but we'll be back in 3 minutes with more of this incredible dialogue with our special guest this evening, Grant Hall. Again, his website, privacycrisis.com. Check out this book.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're still with us, folks, because, again, I think in the realm of empowerment, nothing could be more important than your personal security, your cybersecurity, your telephonic security, your financial security. All of this summed up in one incredible book entitled Privacy Crisis by our guest, Grant Hall. Grant, welcome back, sir.
Yes, Kurt has some interesting points, and in regards to the driver's license, I don't have an argument for that. I just know that I've always went along with the system because, frankly, it's more time effective for me to do that. And he's in Arizona, and you can have a driver's license long term there, but if he has another option and believes that he has a right to travel without one, that's a whole different area that I'm not an expert in.
Yeah, what you're discussing for the most part is invisibility rather than legality, I guess, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, I guess that's the best way. Well, Kurt, I hope that
I
you have
another question.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
What's the name of a couple of different names of walk-in retailers where a man that won't do business via the telephone or the internet can walk in and purchase your book.
Repeat the last part of the question.
He doesn't want to order it over the telephone. He does not want to purchase it over the internet.
Okay.
Could he go to like Barnes and Noble and request them to stock it?
You can call at least one store in Henderson, Nevada. It has the book stocked, and you can call them. It's on the website. Also, you can send. You can go to the website and order it privately by.
I won't do anything on the website.
People do that. By mailing in a money order or a cashier's check.
I'm looking for walk-in retailers, please.
I think what he's saying, Kurt, is that you can get the information on the website, how to do it through the mail.
Oh.
Okay, and I guess you could probably.
I don't use the web.
You can go to a bookstore, right, and they'll order it from the publisher, and you can pick it up there.
Yeah.
If they don't have it in stock.
Okay, do you have an ISBN number handy for me?
I don't have it. Yes, I do. Here it is. Yes, sir, here's the ISBN
number.
Just slowly,
because I write slow.
All right. It is 978-0-9. Let me start again. I'll just speak slowly, and you just write as I speak. 978-0-9-7-8-6-5-7-3-0-7.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll let somebody else on.
Thank you very much, Kurt. I appreciate that. Excellent stuff. Hey, you know, he kind of took us down a road that I would like to explore if it's something you're interested in, which is about Social Security numbers. I've basically heard some people say that it's best to get rid of them. I've heard some people say that, honestly, if you just stop using it, putting it on every document, then it kind of fades out into obscurity as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think I mentioned this when we spoke before on the air, and that is I am a believer in keeping that as private as possible, but still there's going to be a few agencies and a few people that are going to have that. They have mine, and it's really not any obstacle to my own privacy. For example, the Internal Revenue Service, the credit bureaus, somewhere beneath a state agency that issued a driver's license, if I have one in the United States, would have that. The State Department that issued the passport would have that. Those are four that I can think of. However, no bank or any brokerage company or any place where I have a safe deposit box has my Social Security number. Oh, so the important parts of the important the importance of keeping that discreet is it cannot be overemphasized, but there's times just to do normal work that you have to give that up, but it's really not such a huge invasion of your privacy, because just try to even call the State Department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Well, I agree. You know, it's not something I worry about, because to me, it's probably possible to, you know, disassociate yourself. I've talked to people who have done it, and I think it's great. I have not yet been led in that direction, but then again, I've not needed to duck out on it at this point just yet. But you know, again, if I had a kid, I might, you know, not necessarily make sure that they're given one. But at the same time, you know, I have one, and at this point, I haven't found it to be a detriment to have personally. I could see how it could be, but then again, anything could be, honestly. So let's talk about, in regards to signatures, I've been accused of having a very, very, very sloppy signature. I've always found that to be a good thing when signing things, if only because it makes it very difficult to, I guess, duplicate or forge.
I agree. I think it should be illegible. And I think that's an attribute if you have one that's sloppy.
Yes.
I would have my signature be one that was not recognizable and correlated back to my own name.
Hmm, I see. So, you know, just kind of like the old, you see in the movies, sign up here to work on the ship, and they just put a big X.
Yeah, Yes. Or you could make it a little more sophisticated if you chose. So you could practice it. I've seen some really beautiful signatures, but they mean nothing. Mm. I mean, you can't even fathom that would be somebody's or the guy's name that's writing it. You know? They're just so amazing.
There's
beautiful ones. There's sloppy ones. There's all kinds of signatures.
Yeah, mine's just a stinking mess, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, but then again, at least I'm consistent with my mess. You know, it's very interesting too, because when you're looking at all this stuff, there's obviously lots of different ways you can utilize this stuff to protect yourself. And we did mention financial security and whatnot. I was curious about separating yourself from your investments in some capacity. Should that be done, and to what extent?
Everybody's requirements are going to be different, and that just depends on what you have to protect and how much and so on and so forth. The best ideas, I think, is to get really competent legal counsel in those areas, because the attorneys that I have talked with over the years have always encouraged me to separate my personal life from my business life. And so with that in mind, when I had occasion and needed to, I would do that. And I've used and I know of people as well who have used the Nevada Limited Partnership as a vehicle for holding liquid investments, and LLCs for holding hard assets like real estate and businesses as well. So, I mean, there's a variety of things you can use to separate yourself from your businesses.
I think that's fantastic. And I guess, you know, give me an example here, if you would, of a fictional scenario of extremely high-level privacy. What would that person's life consist of? What would it look like?
Mine.
I mean, yeah? Okay. Well, I have no doubt of that.
Let me give you just some basics on that.
Okay.
To begin with, there's about seven different areas, disciplines, in the book that are that encompass your entire life. And I can just give some illustration here to answer your question. It may be a few sentences here, but I'll do the best I can to make it concise. But let's start with the identification. Like we've already been through that.
Mm-hmm.
I would use alternate identification if I really wanted high-level privacy for everything that was not official and was not required by law to utilize my true name. And in terms of my home, I would not have a connection with my real name as well.
Grant, hello. Grant, are you still there? Uh-oh. We appear to have lost our guest here this evening, folks. But we will struggle to get him back here and finish out the last 15 minutes. And, yes, I apologize for those who are anxious to hear this information, but I thought that would be a good thing to address is, again, the epitome of security. Now, again, there are some things that you can do that are extremely easily implemented, and some of those things he's already addressed, using cash when applicable, using money orders instead of checks, using check cashing services. Sometimes you can do that. And again, the important thing to understand is that all of this is outlined in the book, and the website has quite a bit of information as well. And I know that maybe some people don't like the Internet or some people don't like doing this, and I'm all for that. It's a vital thing that we are cognizant of certain things. And I know a lot of people who would say, hey, I don't want to give my information to anybody, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or I can't have my voice heard on the airwaves. I think there's, you know, a certain amount of procedures that maybe you should be aware of, and certain things you should implement. But at the same time, I don't think you should go overboard with paranoia, because if it's fear-based, then there's a concern. If it's caution-based, I think that's a good place to be, and I think that is the difference here with what we're talking about. You know, knowledge is power, folks, and power removes fear. Caution is still necessary, because you don't just want to be a bonehead. You're not going to say, hey, I'm without fear. I'm going to run You know, I'm going to hop in my car and drive actually standing up through the sunroof, you know, with it on cruise control and use my feet. That's not fearlessness. That's just stupidity. But our guest, you're back with us, Grant? Grant? Okay. I thought I heard him, but I guess I did not. Well, this is certainly something, like I said, that I think everyone would be very interested in. I urge you to check this out online at privacycrisis.com or just pick the book up. I don't know what your situation might be, but I have a feeling that this and the information contained within this book would be extremely useful to everyone, plain and simple. It could change your life, and whatever the cost of the book might be in whatever form you might acquire it, I think that it's going to probably save you a substantial amount of money, probably save you a substantial amount of headache and potential danger, certainly, as well. Should we try this again? Grant, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Glad we were able to finish this out here. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, but you were just saying that the different things people could use for extremely high-level privacy, security, and whatnot.
Right. I think I was covering some of the basic areas. There's about seven before I was disconnected. The home, I would, if I owned it, I would rent it. Or if I rented it, I'd have it either held by ownership in the name of a trust if it was my personal residence, and I would not rent a property using my true name so that I wouldn't come up in the databases as a resident of that area. Traveling, we've already been through that. The car should be registered in a trust, in my opinion. It's easier to insure that way as opposed to other entities, and it's also possible, if you do it right, to have your name totally beneath the paperwork that's on the registration, but you've got to oversee that. You've got to know what you're doing. You got to know what you're required before you go in there and do that. It's perfectly legal to do it, but you've just got to be able to work with the folks that provide that paperwork and get it done exactly right. Your communication system, your computer, your telephones, your mail, that can all be handled relatively easy. There's technology on your side. The finances are probably the most complicated aside from the home. It depends once again on what kind of assets and what you have, and what kind of business and what kind of career you have. That's going to dictate how you need to structure that. Your business is sort of intertwined with that, but your career is extremely important. There's some cases that you will not be able to keep your career private, and then other cases you can keep it private. You can structure it in a number of ways to basically hide yourself as an employee and use a front entity to receive the payments on your behalf, and you won't show up personally in the databases. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. But high-level privacy is doable. The circumstances depend a lot on your own individual life, but you kind of get an idea, I think, where I'm coming from and what does amount to when I go over these areas.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, I've begun to implement a lot of these things myself, and they're relatively easy, and I've found that it's nice not to have that hassle. For example, I don't deal with banks. Banks do not hold my money in any capacity. It's just too many bad experiences, my friend, and I'm just, you know, I do other options, and certainly, you know, I don't have a checking account, obviously, so I use money orders, and there are different things people can do. But again, you have to figure out what's best for you, and like I said, I think this book really does highlight all of it. It, you know, you've given us, just in this last segment here, the answer to my question, you've given us a fantastic overview of sort of how this can be done, of maybe what the perfect sort of security obstacles would be for those seeking to infringe upon yours, you know, our individual security and privacy. And the book tells you how to achieve that, and it tells you other options, pitfalls to avoid, horror stories of people who have maybe done this incorrectly because they got bad information or because they didn't turn to a trusted source such as yourself. And we should talk about this, too. Now, is this something that you would be – is this something that people can get your expert opinion person? Like, if I know you do consulting for corporations, do you do consulting for persons? And if so, I assume they can email you through the website, or?
Sure, they can email me, and I'll answer all of those. It may take a day or so, but I'll get to all of those. Basically, everything I know, Frank, is in the book, and I'm speaking at three seminars here at the end of February in conjunction with Mr. Elliott of 24/7 Private Vaults. We're doing that in Nevada, and we may do some of those outside of the area as well.
Oh, wow.
But we don't know for sure, because this is only tentative at this point, and it just depends on the demand. But everything I know that at the time, and the book's only just been printed a couple of months now, everything I know is in the book. So asking me if I consult, yes, I'll answer your questions through the mail if you write me. In fact, there's that's encouraged. The website is being developed where it's going to facilitate that. I want to educate people, and I want to do that through speaking engagements, which I'm doing as of tonight. And some other times as well, but I'll also encourage people to really study the book and really study the various sections. You'd be surprised how much reference material is there, and you shouldn't expect to just grasp it all at once.
Oh, that's absolutely true. As I've said, for a reference book, it's just fantastic. Let me hold you over here, my friend, and we'll come back and we'll give out all the information. It's just been a really fast-paced 3 hours, folks. Our guest, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis, when we return with the conclusion of this hour. Stay with us.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Welcome back. Tail end of our third hour here, folks. Keep in mind, this hour is being brought to you by the Survival Center, your one-stop shop for all things regarding preparedness. The Survival Center has anything you could possibly want or need to get ready for whatever might come down the line. You can call them toll-free, and I actually brought the number this time because I needed to. The toll-free number, 800-321-2900, okay? Or you can visit them online at survivalcenter.com. A lot of great materials there for anything, whether it's, you know, terrorism or a natural disaster, whatever the case may be. It's really fantastic. They've got stuff, I guarantee, that you've never even considered, you never even conceived of. And that's kind of been the theme of the last 3 hours, and we've spent it with our good friend Grant Hall, the author of the book Privacy Crisis. Again, I would urge you strongly to go to the website there and read about this book, which could change your life. It could save your life. Hopefully you'll never be in that situation, but, you know, why not put the necessary obstacles up? It's kind of like, you know, let's say you have a house, right, or whatnot, and you put a fence, okay? The fence is designed to be an obstacle. If somebody really wants to get in there, well, maybe that fence is not going to stop them. But the point is maybe it will. Maybe it's enough of a deterrent to give you peace of mind. And that's exactly what this book is about, Privacy Crisis. Grant Hall, welcome back, sir.
Hi, thank you.
Boy, I'm just such a huge fan of your work. And I also, I got to say this too, I think the fact that you put this all out in book form as sort of an how-to manual for people, I just think is incredible. It's incredibly generous because obviously the people you've spoken with and the things that you've done personally for yourself and the things that other people have done and shared with you and the different resources that you've checked out, as you said, the reference material alone is probably, you know, 20 years or so worth of research and whatnot. The stuff that you've made available for people is just an incredible opportunity for empowerment and for, you know, freedom, I think.
Well, thank you. I spent a lot of time learning what I do know, and I had a lot of help doing the book. I did the material, but I had a really good editor in Ken McFarlane and a really good website designer in Kevin Waite. The publishing folks, James Clark King LLC, have been most generous in agreeing to take my book on. And, you know, Elliot Shaken endorsed the book. He's a world-renowned privacy expert. A couple of really good attorneys I worked with over a period of time that gave me a lot of insight. It took a lot of work, and I am proud of it, but I've done the very best I can here, and hopefully it'll be help people in their quest for privacy, and it's something I am glad to contribute.
Well, all I can say is if you ever get through Arkansas here, I definitely want you to give me a call. I would encourage people, as I said, to pick this book up. Now, you mentioned a mailing address. Is this something you want to give out?
Well, certainly, if you want to write, actually it's on the website, there's a Las Vegas address that okay. We use for mail-in correspondences. There's also one overseas. But the mailing address I'd be glad to give you, it's James Clark King LLC, and the address is 4461 West Flamingo Road, and that's Las Vegas, Nevada, 89103.
Wonderful.
And you can correspond that way, or you can use the email address, which is contact@privacycrisis.com.
Wow. Well, God bless you, my friend. This show is available for you anytime you have something you want to promote, seminars or whatnot, and I hope people do seek you out. I hope they do convince you to maybe come to their town and speak to their groups of friends, family, people who they need to wake up because you're doing great things. God bless you, Grant Hall. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, Frank. It's a pleasure to speak to you again.
Have a great night. Folks, we'll be right back.